And I know you've been waiting to receive the word of God. God's word is coming your way today, and your life will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for you are almighty and you are God and King over all. Thank you for giving birth to us in Christ Jesus, and thank you for giving us the holy written word, which is your revealed will to us. And thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit, our guide, our teacher, our comforter. And today our hearts are open to receive your word. We ask that your word will come to everyone here present and our lives will be changed and transformed because of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Your manifest presence is strong in this place, and that's the only thing that is the reference point here and the point of influence over the speaker and the hearers of your word. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. All right, you may be seated in Jesus' name if you're standing. All right, once again, welcome to church. This month is a month of fasting and prayer. We call it October to Remember. And it's a month of emphasis on spirituality. We're emphasizing spirituality. We're placing emphasis on the need to be spiritual, and the key to spirituality here is what we are going to be looking at today. So today I want to share with you on what I have titled The Key to Spirituality. The Key to Spirituality. We're going to take our Bible reading from two verses of scripture primarily. And then in addition to that, we'll read one more, making three altogether. Romans chapter number 8 and verse 6. Quickly, the Bible tells us, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. And then Romans chapter number 12, very quickly. We'll start the reading here from verse 1. We'll read two verses there, verses 1 and 2. The word of the Lord tells us, Paul speaking by the Holy Ghost, he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and he says, and be not conformed to this word, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. And then we'll read one more scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. We'll start the reading from verse 16 into verse 18. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Verse 17. It tells us, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And verse 18, it says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of God, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The reading of God's word is blessed in Jesus' name. All right, now, what is spirituality? All right, what is spirituality? Spirituality is focus on spiritual things. Focus on spiritual things. Focus on spiritual things. That is what spirituality is. The key word there is focus. Okay? What is spirituality? Spirituality is attention given to spiritual things. Attention given to spiritual things. So the key word there again is what? Attention. What is spirituality? Spirituality is concentrated mindedness of spiritual things. Concentrated mindedness of spiritual things. So the key words there is concentrated what? Mindedness. So the Bible tells us in the scripture that we read earlier, the first one, Romans chapter number 8 and verse 6, it says to be carnally minded is death. Now, it says to be carnally minded is death. Mark the word minded. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, minded is the key word there. Now, if you look at it, you understand that mindedness is the key to carnality as well as the key to spirituality. Okay? A carnal life is actually a life that is geared towards a carnal destination. That means the focus is actually on carnality. The mindedness is on carnality. The concentrated attention is actually geared towards carnality. In the same vein, spirituality is actually a mindedness of spiritual things. When your mind and your attention and your concentrated attention or consciousness or awareness is geared towards spiritual things, then you are said to be spiritually minded. In other words, you are said to be spiritual. So a spiritually minded person is said to be spiritual. A carnally minded person is said to be carnal. Okay, so what makes for carnality is your mindedness, your focus, your attention. Okay, your devotion. Whatever you are devoted to, all right, takes your attention, takes your concentration, seizes your awareness, and then you're bound to become your attention. You're bound to become your focus. You're bound to become what you stay your mind on. That's very important. So in this verse of scripture, Romans chapter number 8 and verse 6, the Bible tells us very clearly, it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, carnally minded, the point of intersection here is just like having, universal set, if you did mathematics a bit, and you have two subsets, okay? And then you have a point of intersection, okay, where the two subsets interact. So what determines your focus here? I want you to focus here now, focus. What determines your attention here, all right, is actually your mindedness, okay? Your mindedness is what determines your state of being, whether or not you are going to be carnal or spiritual, okay? So that's a point of intersection. Did you get it? Okay. So mindedness. Sometimes people say, well, I don't know why I'm carnal. I don't know why, I'm just carried away by carnal things, fleshly things, sensual things. All right? You are not carried away. All right? It's your mindedness. Uh-huh. If, for example, it's just like, once upon a time before you started getting very aware of maybe English Premiership League, EPL, okay? You were not so concerned about watching, all those games. You were not so concerned. You were just about your thing, doing your thing. All right? But the moment you became conscious of it and people started talking about it, you got interested, all right, in it. And then you started watching. You watched the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth. And now you cannot do without it. because your mindedness is actually on it. So you're checking. Which one is the next game? You want to, you're checking your phone. You are sometimes you're shaking. That enthusiasm is there. Your mind has been glued to it. Okay? Now let me tell you something. people who are into, you know, publicity, advertisement, you understand, the advertising industry, they understand something, that if you can catch the mind or consciousness or attention of viewers or spectators, and you can retain or sustain it for like 30 seconds or 1 minute, then you have successfully passed across your message. All right, if you can catch the attention to start with, maybe somebody just comes up, all right, it has nothing to do with the information you want to pass across, but you just want to get the attention, okay? He just screams, yeah, and then everybody says, hey, what's that? Listen to me, you know, and then he starts speaking and you feel like, wow. Before you know it, you have, in less than 5 or 6 seconds, you have different, you know, flashes. Pya, pya, phew, phew, phew. And you just feel like, okay, what's the next one? Phew, phew. Before you know it, 30 seconds, and then they tell you, you have to buy a product. Somehow, you cannot recover from it. You're thinking, what is this product even about? Let me go and check. And you go and check, and you buy it. They've caught your attention. So if I can get your mindedness, your attention, I can sell to you whatever I want to sell to you. I can communicate to you whatever I want to communicate to you. All right? It is the principle of attention. It's the principle of devotion. Mindedness. Mindedness. For to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So life will come to you, peace will come to you because you are spiritually minded. Now, what determines the outcome of your life is not what people do to you or do against you. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certain things you don't glorify, you know, the devil or glorify your circumstances. Those things don't count. All right? When it comes to counting things, they don't count. Amen. I tell you, they don't count. It is not what happens to you that matters. It is what is happening in you. All right? Because what happens to you is temporal. But what is happening in you, the moment an impression is made on the inside of you and you start thinking that way, then what has just happened to you has become permanent. Okay? Because see, circumstances are not meant to last. The things that are visible, that are seen, the Bible tells us they are temporal. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So what is God saying? God is saying, listen, what is going to abide in your life and stick to you and stay with you is actually what you focus your attention on. All right? It's your devotion that determines your state of life, your state of being. It's not your circumstances. It is not your circumstances. Glory to God. So it says to be carnally minded is what? Death. Now, if a man is, you know, reaping the harvest of death in his life, you know, again and again, it is not that death is so powerful that he cannot avoid death. He cannot avoid sicknesses and diseases and lack and oppression and all those things. No, it is his mindedness, what he's thinking about. The moment he changes his mindedness, the outcome of his life will change. The outcome of your life is bound to change when you change your mindedness. That's very important. To be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. So life will come to you because of spiritual mindedness. Peace will come to you because of spiritual mindedness. Why? Because you have focused your mind on the right thing. So what makes for your outcome in life, what determines your production, the produce of your life, is not your circumstance, not your background. All right? You see, for the first 25 to 30 years of every man's life, people are bound to recover from their background. The moment maybe you're born into poverty or in a village setting and you go to school, the moment you graduate from the university, you start thinking differently. True? You have recovered from your background. And you have to tell people the name of your village before they can trace you to that place. Do you understand what I'm saying here? So people say, my background, where I was born, is a lie. It does not take long to recover from all those things. But what it takes, long to recover from is the state of your mind. You know, Israel had left Egypt. All right? They were no longer there, but Egypt was still in their mind. They were still thinking about the cucumbers, the garlics, the onions. Amen. Why? Because it was in their mind. Now, what is in your mind is what stays with you. Your garment cannot stay long with you. Some of us have changed clothes many times in a lifetime so far. True? There are some clothes you have outgrown them. But you see, if a man has a bad mindset, a wrong mindset, if he doesn't do something about it intentionally, he may not outgrow it. People crystallize if they are not transformed. All right? It's either you're transforming or you're conforming. All right? Conformation or transformation. So God wants us to transform from glory to glory. Can someone say amen to that? And we're coming back to that. So what determines whether or not you are spiritual is your mindedness, what you focus on. That's very important. And then I want you to see the scripture in Isaiah chapter number 23 and verse 3. 26, I beg your pardon, and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. It says, "Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee." Did you see it? God will keep you in perfect peace because your mind is what? Stayed on him. Now, there are certain things God wants to do with our lives, but he cannot do them until he can get our attention. All right? You see, manufacturers of big products, beautiful products, quality products, cannot sell their products to anybody until they get their attention. They want to let you know what this product can do, what help it can render or help it can offer to you, how the product can change your life. Okay? Now, God cannot change the life of anyone until he gets his attention. God can't change the life of anyone until he gets their attention. God has to get your attention first. He says he will keep you in shalom, shalom, perfect peace, whose mind, because your mind is stayed on him. So it does not matter what is happening around you, all right? All the different things happening, the shiftings, the distractions. But what will determine the outcome of your life is not what you have been through or what you are going through, okay? What will determine the outcome of your life is what your mind is set upon, what you are focused on. People become their focus, all right? Not their distractions. Amen? And, focus can be flipped over, okay? And it becomes distraction, but it's actually focus on the wrong thing. Okay? So before the enemy can successfully do something in the life of any man, he must get his attention. If you don't give the devil your attention, okay, he can't do anything in your life. Praise God. He cannot. Neither can God help you without getting your attention. Okay? So what is your focus? That's the point. That's the question. What is your focus? What is your focus on? What is your devotion like? Where is your attention? So we're looking at the key here. The key to spirituality is what? Mindedness. Focus. Focus is the key to spirituality. If you really want to be spiritually minded, you want to be spiritual, then you have to be minded. Spiritually, you have to be spiritually minded. Amen. This is very important. Glory to God. Now, let's take it one step at a time. Your focus is what determines your transition and your transformation. Your focus is what determines your transition and your transformation. You transit from one place to another place on account of your focus. You transform from one state of being to another state of being on account of your focus. Your focus is what determines your transformation, not the enemy. In fact, what the enemy does is to distract you from what you're supposed to focus on, so you can focus on the wrong thing. Because the enemy cannot change your life or make you become, you know, like he desires for you to become, except he focuses your attention on the wrong things. You see? But if you retain your focus, the enemy can do anything. He may try, make attempts, but you just keep making progress and keep going forward. Can someone say amen to that?
Amen. Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
So, this is the key. What determines your transition? Your focus. What determines your transformation? Your focus. So your focus determines your transition and your transformation. Now, that you're going to move from here to there, that you're going to move from where you are right now to where God wants you to be, it has everything to do with your focus. It's not your effort and struggle. No, just focus. The one who transforms us, who transits us from glory to glory. Can someone say amen to that? All right. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 18. We read that scripture earlier. It says, but we all of us, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are what? Changed into the same image. Image of what? Of the glory of God that you focused on. Amen?
Amen.
So you see, if you can maintain your focus of the image of the glory of God that has been presented before you, according to God's word, listen very carefully, you will become that image. You'll become it. Amen? You'll become it. You know, it's just like, you know, what the wisdom of God given to Jacob when he was serving under Laban. Laban was a taskmaster, though his uncle, but was a taskmaster. And he was serving and serving and serving, but there was nothing to show for it. So God gave him a wisdom by the hand of the angel of the Lord. And he said, look, for the pregnant sheep and goat, if you want them to give birth to children, all right, that are striped, amen, with spots on, amen, just take a rod, mark it the same. You see, put the focus before them. They will produce after their focus. Okay, so the spotted and the speckled among the goats. So he struck a deal with his uncle. His uncle looked at it and said, it is very unlikely that this guy will have his expectation met. So the uncle said, wow, deal. You know, it's very hard for a sheep to give birth to speckled and spotted. All right, and, you know, Jacob said, fine, but I have found a secret. All right, you see, this is how to change the lives of people. Don't try to change their clothes. Don't try to change their shoes. All right? Huh? Change their mindset. How? Put something before them that they will keep beholding. And that's why I tell people, you know, as a preacher, as a teacher of God's word, you have to look good all the time because you are an image to your congregation. You know, if you don't look good, you're always dressing like people pity you. You know, somehow people begin to become like you. You know, and that's why preachers of the gospel, teachers of God's word, must look good, must succeed. All right? You have to be a success. Why? Because you are an image of the glory of God before the people. Do you know you are the image of God? Someone said, am I the image of God? Yes, you are. Genesis 1:26. God made you in his image and after his likeness. Genesis 1:27. Amen? So, if people want to know how God looks like, they should look at you. Amen? Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say, I'm the image of God.
I'm the image of God.
Say, I'm the glory of God.
The glory of God.
All right, yeah. You are the glory of God. Because, you see, when we talk about image, image is actually glory. I'll prove it to you, but maybe we don't have time. But let me just show you some scriptures here. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse 18. It says, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. Are what? Changed into the same. So what are we beholding in a glass? The glory of the Lord. We are changed into the same. What's the image? It's that simple, is there? When you say you are the image of God, it means you are the glory of God. You are the outshining of the glory of God. When people look at you and say, wow, glory to God. Hallelujah. They just give thanks to God for you. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, let me show you another scripture in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. All right, it says, speaking of Jesus Christ, who being the what? Brightness of his glory. That's the outshining of God's glory. And the what? Express image of his person. Did you see it? All right, so it says Jesus Christ is the outshining effulgence of the glory of God and the what? Express image of his person. So you see the word image there. So you see glory there again. The same one who is the brightness of God's glory is the express image. Glory is actually image. All right, because how can you ever figure or, you know, conceptualize a person without an image? It's not possible. There's always a likeness that, you know, gives you a correct perception and value of a person. There's always an image, a reflection. Amen? Okay, for example, if you say somebody is wealthy, all right, don't just look at him and say he's wealthy. There's something that reflects that wealth, right? True? There's always an image that shows that this person is wealthy. True? If someone is powerful, say the person is powerful. There's always something that shows that the person is powerful, right? Now, God is a great God, all right? God says, I want to show to the world that I'm a great God, not by coming down to say, hey, I'm a great God, all right? You are my image. So when they look at what I'm doing with you, doing in your life, and how you are prospering, manifesting my glory, helping people, you know, preaching the gospel, casting out devils, doing great things for God, amen, then they can say, ah, God is powerful. God is powerful. Look at what God did by the hand of Moses in Egypt. You know, there was a tutorial given to Egypt. All the Egyptians were tutored to know that the God of Israel is the great God. Even Pharaoh himself admitted to it. That look, this God is a great God. And all the heathen nations, when they heard of, you know, what God did by the hand of Moses in Egypt, the fame of God spread abroad. You know, you see, this is how people know that God is great. Not by looking up to the sky and see rainbow. All right, that is not articulate enough. It is not substantial. They have to look at your life. A moving image of God, transiting and transforming from glory to, you know, so the key to it is what? Focus. That's the key. All right. Be not deceived. You will become your attention. You will become your concentration. You will become your devotion. You are bound to become your devotion. It's a law. So that's why I don't focus on problems, because I don't want to be problematic and I don't want to be a problem. I focus on solutions. I focus on what Christ has done for me. I focus on who I am in Christ, who God is in me. I focus on those things. I don't focus on negative things. All right? I don't focus on, you know, all those sensual things. Because if you focus on them, the moment you start watching and watching one clip, another clip, All right? The appetite rises. You want more. You want more. You want more. What determines your appetite? What regulates your appetite is your concentration, your focus. You can tune up your appetite for spiritual things by focusing more on spiritual things. Are you for what I'm saying here? All right. And then we understand the key to spirituality is mindedness, devotion. And we understand that there are boosters to spirituality. Boosters. You can boost, you know, when you have a TV set and then you're connected to maybe a satellite dish, but you're not getting the signal well. You need what? A booster. And the booster will realign, fine-tune, you know, the frequency and the reception such that you're receiving that exact frequency, right? It's a booster. So it just comes, everything clears out and very clear. Glory to God. And then you can see it and say, okay, the distorted lines and everything clears out. So everything is now clear on the screen. True? That's a booster. Now, to boost your devotion and spirituality, fasting. You add some fasting to it, you know, your mind will be very clear. You can't be fasting and meditating on God's word and not get something from the word. You know, because if you start eating too much sometimes, you know, there's something about eating. Eating is good for the body, but too much of it is bad for the body. Okay? I'm not talking about people who are on the moon now. Those ones, you're on the moon. I'm not sure people fast on the moon. your fasting is suspended on the moon. When you come back to the earth, you fast. You know, I mean, people who are on honeymoon. You know, on the moon, there's honey there. So why should you fast when there's honey all around? You're just licking and eating honey. Honey, the Bible says, eat honey for it is good. Amen. Glory to God. So, this is very powerful. This is very, very powerful. So you can boost your devotion by giving yourself to fasting. Now, what fasting does is that fasting chastises your soul. You know, most of the time, people think that when you fast, it has to do with your body. Read the Bible. There is no place that fasting affects your body. Fasting affects your soul. Okay, let me show you a couple of scriptures here. Okay. Turning your Bibles to the book of Psalms. And I want to show you some things here. Psalm 35 and verse 13. Quickly. All right. Fasting impacts on your body, but it has nothing to do with your body. It impacts directly on your soul, and then your soul in turn impacts on your body. Look at it. You know, I discovered this some years ago. I make discoveries from God's word. All right, Psalm 35 and verse 13. All right. It says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was what? Sackcloth. I humbled my soul. Mark the word soul. With what? Fasting. Did he say I humbled my body? No, my soul. You see, there's nothing wrong with your body per se. All right? It is the impact of your soul on your body. That your body is just a servant. Your body is an instrument. You know? It is not the pen that has the handwriting. It's the writer of the pen. You understand? So you just say, this pen is bad. No, it's the handwriter. It is the handwriter that is not writing well. The pen is meant to just produce ink and whatever you command it to do, that's what it does. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and your body is meant to be put under by your soul. Paul said, I put my body under. His soul, he's putting his body under. Did you get it? So, go back to Psalm 35 and verse 13. You know, what fasting does is it conditions your soul such that the impact of your soul on your body is spiritual. So your body is checkmated, so to speak. Are you flams in here? So it says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled what? My soul with what? Fasting. When they were sick, I humbled my soul with fasting. Fasting. With fasting. Someone says, I just want to humble my soul. It's not by saying it. Start fasting. Your soul will be humble. And you start seeing things differently. Oh, I didn't say that well. I didn't do that well. But when your soul is not humble, your body will commit. Because it is the impact of your soul on your body that conditions your body. Your body is an instrument. Your body will transform and translate signals from your soul, will act out signals from your soul. If the soul is not humble, the body will be proud. Let me show you another scripture. I discovered this, some years back and really blessed me. Look at Psalm 69 and verse 10. Can you read it? It says, when I wept and what? Chastened my soul with what? I chastened my soul with what? I can't hear you. I chastened my soul with what? Now, you see the word soul there again. Now, does not mean that fasting does not impact on your body, but it's not a direct impact. What fasting would first touch is your soul. And then when your soul is touched, the impact is transmitted to your body. Amen? So let me tell you something. When the soul is really hungry for God, you see that the body will not be hungry for food. Your body will start, salivating and become hungry for God because your soul is hungry for God. But if your soul is proud, like you don't need God, you're just living your life anyhow, your body will be proud. Be eating like 3 square meals won't be enough. Just be eating everything. Your body's not hungry for God. Okay? So let me show you this. You see, this is the key here. Now look, go to Psalm 63. Let me just show you this. All right, Psalm 63 and verse 1. Oh God, thou art my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsted for thee, and then the impact is that my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land. But if your soul does not thirst for God, your flesh can't long for God. You can't. So they are proud souls, very proud. Already they are not, thirsty for God. Early morning prayer, which one is early morning prayer? Which one is morning dew? The dew is already outside, They just step out and just, do their thing. This one is morning prayer. The soul is proud. But you get the person into 3 days fasting, all right, and just be meditating on the word, praying, meditating on the word. Your attention will shift from fleshly things to spiritual things. And then your soul starts longing for God. You now know that food, all right, is not a major thing in life. Food is secondary to living. There are certain things that are better than life. The loving kindness of God is better than life. Man shall not live by bread alone. So that means you can eat bread, and you're not living. You are still not living with bread, as in physical food, until you start eating the word. Amen? So a man can eat himself fat, and he's just walking like this, and he's dead. He's a living corpse. Just walking like this. He's fat, too. He just, well, there's nothing on the inside. So man shall not live by bread alone. It tells you, if you live by bread alone, you are not living indeed, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Glory to God. Amen. How many of us got that? So you can boost your devotion to God. All right. You want to study God's word more? Okay. Fast breakfast, fast lunch. Okay. And you may fast dinner as well. Not for those on the moon. Amen. You are fasted. Why other people were on honeymoon, they were not fasting. You were fasting for them. It's time for others to fast for you. All right, so October to remember will be remembered next year. Amen. Let's be upstanding. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Blessed be your holy name. We are doers of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Praise and glory, I worship you and I give you praise. Strong tower in your name we will stand, a hiding place to which we can run. I have a praise and help when